ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। We are reading Bhagavad Gita as it is, chapter 6, text 40 and text 41 and 42 today. So let us recite the verse 41. Prapya punya kritam lokan उषित्वा शाश्वतिः समा शुचीनां श्रीमतां गेहे योगभ्रष्टो भिजायते प्राप्य पुण्यकृतां लोकान् उषित्वा शाश्वतिः समा शुचीनां श्रीमतां गेहे योगभ्रष्टो भिजायते अथवा योगिनामेव कुले भवति धीमताम् एतद्वि दुर्लभतरम् लोके जन्म यदि दृशम् अथवा योगिनामेव कुले भवति धीमताम् एतद्धि दुर्लभतरम् लोके जन्म यदि दृशम् प्राप्य पुण्य कृतां लोकान् चित्वा शाश्वतिः समां श्रीनां श्रीमतां गेहे योगभ्रष्टो विजायते योगिनामेव कुले भवति धीमताम् एतद्धि दुर्लभतरम् लोके जन्म यदि दृशम् प्राप्य पुण्यकृतां लोकान् श्रुत्वा शाश्वती समा Matajis, to recite. Prapya punya kritam lokan Vashashvati sama Shuchinam shrimatam gehe Yoga bhrashto vichayate Atva yogina एतद्धि दुर्लभतरम् जन्म यदि दृश्यम् अथवा योगिनामेव कुले भवति देवताम् एतद्धि दुर्लभतरम् लोके जन्म यदि दृश्यम् वर्ड बाय वर्ड ट्रांसलेशन प्राप्य आफ्टर अचीविंग पुण्य कृताम of those who performed pious activities. Lokan, planets. Ushitva, after dwelling. Shashvatihi, many. Sama, years. Shuchinam, of the pious. Shrimatam, of the prosperous. Gehe, in the house. Yoga Bhrashtaha, one who has fallen, one who has from the path of self-realization. Abhijayate, takes his birth. Translation: the unsuccessful yogi, after many years of enjoyment on the planets of the pious living entities, is born into a family of righteous people or into a family of rich aristocracy. Purport: the unsuccessful yogis are divided into two classes. One is fallen after very little progress, and one is fallen after long practice of yoga. The yogi who falls after a short period of practice goes to the higher planets, where pious living entities are allowed to enter. After prolonged life there, one is sent back again to this planet to take birth in the family of righteous Brahmana Vaishnava or of aristocratic merchants. The real purpose of yoga practice is to achieve the highest perfection of Krishna consciousness, as explained in the last verse of this chapter. But those who do not persevere to such an extent and who fail because of material allurements are allowed, by the grace of the Lord, to make full utilization of their material propensities. And after that, they are given opportunities to live prosperous lives in rich, in righteous or aristocratic families. Those who are born in such families may take advantage of the facilities and try to elevate themselves to full Krishna consciousness. Text 42, translation and purport by Srila Prabhupada: or if unsuccessful after long practice of yoga, he takes his birth in a family of transcendentalists who are surely great in wisdom. Certainly, such a birth is rare in this world. Purport: birth in a family of yogis or transcendentalists, those with great wisdom, is praised herein because the child born in such a family receives a spiritual impetus from the very beginning of his life. It is especially the case in the Acharya or Goswami families. Such families are very learned and devoted by tradition and training, and thus they become spiritual masters. In India, there are many such Acharya families, but they have now degenerated due to insufficient education and training. By the grace of the Lord, there are still families that foster transcendentalist generation after generation. It is certainly very fortunate to take birth in such families. Fortunately, both our spiritual master, Om Vishnupad Sri Srimad Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Goswami Maharaj, and our humble self had the opportunity to take birth in such families by the grace of the Lord. And both of us were trained in devotional service of the Lord from the very beginning of our lives. Later on, we met by the order of the transcendental system. Let us chant the Mangalacharan prayers. Om Jnanatimirandasya Jnananjanashalakaya Chakshurunmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha श्री चैतन्य मनोभीष्टं स्थापितं येन भूतले स्वयं रूपकदामहं ददाति स्वपदान्तिकम् वन्देहं श्रीगुरु श्रीयुतपदकमलं श्रीगुरुन् वैष्णवांश्च श्रीरूपं साग्रजातं सहगणरघुनाथान्वितं तं सजीवं साद्वैतं सावधूतं परिजनसहितं कृष्णचैतन्यदेवं श्रीराधाकृष्णपादान् सहगणललिता श्रीविशाखान्वितांश्च हे कृष्ण करुणा सिंधु दीनबंधु जगत्पते गोपेश गोपिका कांत राधा कांत नमोस्तुते तप्त कांचन गौरांगी राधे वृंदावनेश्वरी वृषभानुसुते देवी प्रणमामि हरि प्रिये वांछाकल्पतरुभ्यश्च कृपा सिंधुभ्यैव च पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः नमो विष्णुपादाय कृष्णपृष्ठाय भूतले भवते भक्तिवेदांत स्वामीति नामिने नमस्ते सरस्वते देवे गौरवाणी प्रचारिणे निर्विशेष शून्यवादी पाश्चात्य देशतारिणे जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभो नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासदि गौर भक्त वृंद हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्णा Thank you all of you for coming this evening for this hearing of Srimad Bhagavad Gita. Currently we are discussing this conversation between Lord Krishna and Arjuna, where Lord Krishna has described various systems of yogas in previous chapters. Continuing in this chapter, which is entitled Dhyana Yoga. And here the process prescribed is primarily Ashtanga Yoga. And the specifics of Ashtanga Yoga has been mentioned, how one should control the air, how one should sit, and bring all senses under control. That process has been described. So after hearing many systems of yogas from Lord Krishna, Arjuna has asked a question 2-3 verses before. And it's a very important question, and which many people have this doubt, and sometimes those who don't read Bhagavad Gita, they also ask this question. I have personally heard many people asking this question that Arjuna has asked. They may not use the exact words that Arjuna has used, but the essence is the same. People ask question, you are practicing this Bhakti Yoga, and you expect that you will go back to Godhead or you will see Krishna. But what if your desire, what if it doesn't happen? What if you fail in this process? What will happen? And then because of this, you have also given up many other things. So you basically end up neither on this side and nor on that side. It's a similar question Arjuna has asked here. And let me read the translation of that question which Arjuna asks. Arjuna is saying, O Krishna, what is the destination of the unsuccessful transcendentalist who in the beginning takes to the process of self-realization with faith, but who later desists due to worldly mindedness and thus does not attain perfection in mysticism. Does such a man who is bewildered from the path of transcendence fall away from both spiritual and material success and perish like a ruined cloud with no position in any sphere? So this is a very important question. Sometimes even we wonder that we have been doing so many things, following so many rules and regulations, trying our best to perfect our lives. But what if we don't succeed? What if we don't succeed? What will happen? So that has been answered here in these verses. So, in a sense, there is no harm even if we don't succeed. There is no harm. There are many verses in Bhagavatam and Bhagavad Gita also. Before it has been said, there is a verse in earlier chapters. Neha vikramanaso asti pratyabhayo na vidyate svalpam apyasya dharmasya trayate mahato bhayat. There is no loss or diminution on this path. There is nothing to fear. Whatever progress we make on spiritual life is preserved. Even if we do not reach 100%, if we make 30% progress, that 30% is preserved. Next life we will be given a chance to continue from 31%. But in material life, whatever progress we make is over at the end of the life. We may accumulate so much of wealth, so much of name and fame. In the next life when we are born, we cannot claim that wealth. Suppose this life I have a big empire with $20 billion and I die. Next life I am born in some poor family. And then I cannot go and claim, my previous life I had this 20 billion, please give it to me. I cannot, this just doesn't work. Doesn't work. I may have so much of power, maybe I am the owner of a big company and there are 2,000 people working under me and I die. Next life when I am born, I cannot say, I was the owner of this company, please give me back. I died, but now I am born again. Please give me the ownership back. I cannot claim. First of all, nobody will even believe that I am actually the owner. And even if somehow or the other I prove, still I will not get. I will not get. But spiritual life, whatever progress we make, is preserved because that progress is at a very subtle level. It's on a different platform. It's on a different platform where material laws don't work. So, in the verses here where Krishna is answering this question, in the previous verse number 40, Srila Prabhupada quotes a verse from Bhagavatam, which is a very famous verse spoken by Sri Narada Muni. He says, Tyaktva swadharmam charanam bhujam harer bhajan na pakkotha patatyato yadi yatra kvava bhadra abhudamushyakim kovartha apto bhajatam swadharmataha. Where he is comparing two people, one who is performing his prescribed duties very perfectly, means one is taking care of all worldly duties very nicely, but not doing Hari Bhajan, not doing devotional service, but taking care of his worldly responsibilities and duties very nicely, like taking care of the parents, children, society, everything else. He is doing very nicely, but not worshipping Krishna. That is one person. Second category, there is a person who is totally engaged in the service of Krishna. He is performing devotional service. Even though he may not be perfectly doing his worldly duties. And who is better? If we ask people here in this world, most of the people will vote on this side. That if you are taking care of your parents nicely, your children nicely, your wife nicely, in a country you are a responsible citizen, you are a wonderful person. You are an ideal example for everyone to follow. That may be true from a material point of view. From a worldly point of view, that may be okay. But when we talk from a spiritual platform, then that falls short. Then this side weighs high. That's what Narada Muni says here in this verse, that a person who is totally engaged in Krishna's service, he has nothing to fear, nothing to worry. Even if he fails, even if he falls down, he says, Bhajan akko apakko atha pate tato yadi. Even if he is unable to perfect his sadhana, perfect his devotional service, and he falls down, still there is nothing to worry. But the person who is doing his worldly duties very nicely, what does he gain at the end of the life? Because he has to be born again in this world, he has not made any significant spiritual progress. So he will again be caught in this material world, and in this material world, he will again have to go through so many problems. So many problems. And he continues here in the today's verse where he tells what is the destination. So there are a few categories have been described here. So though Sri Prabhupada writes in the purport that the unsuccessful yogis can be of two types. One who does little bit of bhajan and falls down. And the other who does long bhajan for a long time, he is almost perfect, he has progressed a lot, but falls down. Two categories. One who did little bit, and then after that he got again attracted by the material energy, and he fell down. Many people we see in Krishna conscious movement, many people come, they get attracted, interested in Krishna bhakti, they follow for a few months, sometimes 1 year, and then 2 years, and then again get attracted by the material life. They get pulled, and they again go back to their old lifestyle. There may be some people who practice for a long time, many, many years. They have been very stable, but something happens, and they fall down. Fall down or just they get distracted. Some disturbances happens. And Sri Prabhupada describes that they have different destinations. The first category, who does little bit of bhajan and falls down, he is born, first he goes to the heavenly planets, that person, and enjoys lot of material comforts for many years. Shashwati hi sama, many years he enjoys in the heavenly planets. And then he gets a birth, Shuchi Naam Shrimatam Gehe. Gehe means house. Whose house? Two kind of possibilities are there. One is Shuchi Naam, those who are righteous people, pious people, those who are following Vedic scriptures, living religious life, self-controlled life. In their family they are born. Or Shrimatam. Shrimatam means wealthy people, or born in the family of wealthy people. That is their destination. So those who perform bhajan for a few years, a little bit, have not progressed much, but have made some progress, and they fall down. Then they are born either in the family of pious people, those who follow Vedic rules and regulations, or in the family of rich people. Shuchinam Shrimatam Gehe Yoga Vrashto Vijayate. Those who fall down, they were born there. Then the other category, those who fall down after, fall down or get distracted, after a long practice of devotional service, what is their destination? Athava yoginam eva kule bhavati dhimatam etaddi durlabhataram loke janma yadi drisham. It is said here that those who are unsuccessful after long practice of yoga, they take birth in the family of transcendentalists who are surely great in wisdom. Means they get birth in advanced devotee families. Those who have made significant progress and they fall down, they take birth in very nice Vaishnava family. And it is said that such a birth is very rare. Such a birth is very rare. Being born in the family of devotees, that birth is rare, it's not ordinary. It means the person must have done some prior bhajan, some prior sadhana. Then only one gets a chance to be born in the family of devotees, otherwise not possible. And then Srila Prabhupada gives his own example in the purport. And the example of his spiritual master, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, saying that both my spiritual master and myself had the opportunity to be born in the family of great Vaishnavas, which is a rare birth. So the kind of birth Srila Prabhupada had, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur had, is a rare birth. To be born in such an advanced family of devotees. So, we should be confident that there is nothing to worry if we are doing devotional service. Nothing to worry. If we are unable to complete, still we have nothing to worry. Our future is bright. That is guaranteed here in these verses. The future is bright. If we perfect our life, in this very life, we go back to Godhead. If we do not, for whatever reason, we are still guaranteed a birth in Vaishnava families if we have made significant progress. And then we are given a chance again to practice devotional service. If someone is born in the family of wonderful devotees, then all the facilities are there to perform devotional service, because from the very childhood one will be visiting temples, one will be hearing kirtan, one will be hearing about Krishna. All these facilities are there if someone is born in the family of devotees. So one is given that facility. So that chance is there. So what happens, see, we have seen in our lives, we have met many devotees, we see, sometimes someone is suddenly gets attracted by devotional service. Why does it happen? All of a sudden, somebody is doing something in his life, not practicing devotional service, but suddenly he comes in contact with devotees and transformation happens, and he takes very seriously, starts practicing, giving up everything. It means there has been some previous connection there. Because so many people come in contact with devotees, but not everybody changes. Many do not change, but some change. Some feel, hundreds of people coming to our temple every day, But some of them, even after coming once only, they get attracted, they inquire, they take a book, they ask more questions, and they start chanting. And they start following. But there are others also who come, hear, listen, and then go back. Why is such a difference? Both have got the same exposure. Temple, the same deities are there. Same darshan they had. But the effect is different. Many of them will have some connection to their past life. They have performed some devotional service, so now Krishna gives them other opportunity to start from where they left in their last life. So, because they may be having some other karma, and that's why previous part of their life they were engaged in some materialistic thing, but now that is over and Krishna gives them an opportunity. Now you continue from where you left. So they take up from there and then continue to practice devotional service. So the idea is, whatever progress we have made in spiritual life is always preserved. Always preserved. Even if someone leaves devotional service, we should not criticize that person. Someone does a lot of service for many years, and for whatever reason he may leave practicing, we should not criticize, or we should not think ill of that devotee. Maybe there was some past karma, because that forced him to get some reactions, and that's why he may have left. Some offenses may have been there because the reaction he may have left. But as soon as those karma and those reactions will be over, he will come back. It's guaranteed. He will come back. And there are many examples we have seen where sometimes devotees left for some time and they again come back. Everyone has his own baggage of past lives, karma. We don't know what is there in my bag. What will come at what time, we don't know. What reaction we will get at what time, we don't know. Sometimes we are practicing base very nicely. Some sudden disturbance comes in life and we may get affected. Sometimes our sadhana may become weak. Like material energy may be forcing us very strongly. But in due course it will be over. As long as we remain, we continue to take shelter of Krishna, we pray to Krishna, those days will be gone after some time. Those days will be gone. Disturbances will be gone. Sometimes it could be due to offenses, sometimes it just could be our past activities are too much, too many things are there and some reactions have to come at certain time, it may come, we don't know. This law of karma is very complex. Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, Gahano Karmana Gati. The law of karma is very complex. We cannot understand how it works. Very, very complex. So we should not criticize or think ill if some devotee, after practicing for many years, he deviates for some time. Either in this life itself he will come back, or definitely in next life he will come back. Because whatever he has performed, Krishna always remembers. Krishna never forgets. He never forgets. So once his other reactions are over, he will come back to devotional service. So as a devotees, we should all wish and pray for everyone, for ourselves, for others, that we all continue to remain on this path. Now here, one may ask a question that Krishna says that if you have done some devotional service, then you may be born in rich family. At the other side, we also hear in Bhagavad Gita that having lot of richness is not very good for devotional service. Because there is a lot of scope for sense gratification. So we might get involved in sense gratification and then they forget devotional service. And in fact, Kunti Maharani says that shloka, जन्म ऐश्वर्य श्रुति श्री भी रे धमान मदह उपान नैवर हत्या अभिधातुम वैतम अकिंचन गोचर दैट दोज हु हैव ब्यूटी हाई बर्थ लॉट ऑफ ऑपुलेंस लॉट ऑफ नॉलेज एंड ब्यूटी दे कैन नॉट परफॉर्म डिवोशनल सर्विस कुंती महारानी सेज बिकॉज दे गेट puffed up, having lot of opulence, being very beautiful, being very knowledgeable, pride comes. Then it becomes difficult to perform devotional service. So on one side, Bhagavatam says, oh, we have opulence, then it's difficult to perform devotional service. Bhagavad Gita also says, Bhogaishwarya prasaktanam taya aparita chetasam. So those whose mind is engaged in sense gratification, they cannot do devotional service. Then what is the use of getting birth in rich family? It means more chance for distraction. So Srila Prabhupada answers that. He has given a lecture on this and he is telling that being born in a rich family does not necessarily mean that one will fall down. Does not necessarily mean that way. That happens when there is no proper education. If someone is born in rich family and he has been given proper education, then there is no problem. Rather, it's better because the person born in rich family does not have to worry anything about his maintenance. Where I will get food, how will I get clothes, a place to live. He doesn't have to worry about anything. Everything is given. So Krishna has given a chance that, okay, I am giving you another life in a rich family where you don't have to worry about anything, you just do your bhakti. That's all. So if one has proper education, proper training, then being born in a rich family is not harmful. It could be very good, because we see that there are many people who are so much worried about their maintenance. How will I live? How will I maintain? How will I get my son educated? How will I get my daughter married? So many worries. And in the middle of so many worries, person is not able to do a bhakti also. So someone who is born in a rich family, if he is properly educated, then it's very good. It's very good. That's why Srila Prabhupada wanted to educate the aristocratic families. That those who are born in rich families, he wanted to educate them. That instead of engaging in sinful activities and sense gratificatory activities, why not practice Krishna consciousness? Krishna has given you everything. You don't have to worry about food. You don't have to worry about a place to live. Everything is there. Just engage in service of Krishna. So this being born in an aristocratic family may not always be harmful if one is properly educated. Second, one is born in a right, pious, righteous family. That is very good because their parents are already practicing. So that training is given from very birth. And then if one is born in the family of nice, wonderful devotees, then that is best. Because then one can directly receive the culture of devotional service. So this is the destination of devotees. Either one goes back to Godhead, if not, then being born in a wonderful Vaishnava family, or in the family of pious people, or in the family of rich people. These are the possible destinations. But we should not be very contented ki chalo, if this life mein if I can't perfect, next chance will be given. We should not become like that. We should try our best, because we never know, material energy is very strong, anytime we can be pulled, and it may take very long time to come back. So we should, from our side, we should not become slackened. We should not become loose. But if something comes in our life because of our past reactions, that we have no control over. Because if we have already done something in our past life and some reactions comes and tries to disturb our sadhana, we should remain sheltered at the lotus feet of Krishna and our spiritual master and let the time pass. Let the disturbance pass. So in this way we should continue to practice devotional service. So I will end here. Thank you very much for your patient hearing. If anyone has any comments or questions, please. Yes, the phone can be passed.
Krishna. I'm glad you emphasized this point that we should not try to criticize people when they have some kind of difficulty. It's kind of, Pachagoda was just joking this morning when I had an injury. He says, no injured people allowed in the temple. It's just a joke. But yet we sometimes treat that to the people that it's like I go to the physical therapy when the therapists say, no injured people allowed here. If you're injured, you need the therapy. So we have if we have difficulty, we even need the association of devotees more.
Yes.
But probably, and you can comment more on this, the reason people feel like they're a ribbon cloud is they may serve for years, and one difficulty comes up. And that's all anybody talks about, is the one thing they did, and they get rid of them, no injured devotees here. And what's worse, that really scares them, like you'll read on the internet about all these bad things about certain devotees that they never did. So then the devotee thinks, oh, if they are criticizing them for things they didn't even do, what will they do to me if I do something? And therefore they're afraid to talk about even having some difficulty. We don't have it where, as they say, you can't save your bottom and your face at the same time, right? You have to, my grandmother told me a friend of hers was choking on a piece of meat and she didn't want to embarrass herself and so she died. So it tells me one thing, don't eat meat. Number two, if I have a problem, tell somebody. But unfortunately in our society, we find that we're afraid to tell others if we're having some difficulty. But if we're not pure devotees, there's some kind of thing going on, something that we can do it. But we need to culture this more, and maybe you can talk about how we can culture that openness. After all, devotees are supposed to disclose their mind to others. But I know most of us are afraid to do that. Is it not true? And how can we help others get over that fear?
Yeah. Thank you, Prabhu, for bringing this up. Yes, unfortunately, in this material world, majority of the people take pleasure in criticizing others. They find it tasteful that they have found something to talk about others, which is, it's just a, means they are enforcing the material tendencies more in them by doing that activity. From our side, we should understand that when we criticize someone, we are actually polluting ourselves. We must remember that. A pure devotee will not do that. A devotee who is very, very advanced, he will not criticize, rather he will feel compassionate, he will try to help the other person if some person has gotten in some difficulty. So for our own progress, if we ever get this tendency to criticize others, we should reflect that actually this is not a good thing. Let me think, how can I help the other person? If I am in no position to help the other person, I am not the one to criticize or speak about it. Just leave it. This way at least we can train ourselves. And people will speak up only if there is a trust. Only if someone trusts that this person, after hearing or listening my complaint or my problem, will actually try to help me rather than go and talk about it everywhere and spread the news. So if that trust is not there, people will be afraid to speak. So among the devotee group that we have, we should try to build that trust. Be sensitive to others, others' feelings, other thoughts, and be careful on what we speak. In this way we can create a more healthy, wholesome atmosphere where we feel cared, we feel loved, trusted, and then we can share more about other things. Yes.
Because when they criticize, instead of trying to help, then they are telling the devotees who may need help. Because yes. If I find all these people are criticizing, and oh, I was going to talk about my problem, but now I'm afraid. Mm. And then the problem kills me. So this is the result. It's not fun and games, it's actually killing the devotees who may need someone to talk to.
Yeah.
But they get afraid because they're afraid all these people do is criticize and even make up stories. I better not tell anybody what's going on, and therefore they disappear and they're gone. So that's the result. It's not like it's a bad formality. That it's actually killing the devotees who may need to develop that trust.
Yes, right. Thank you. Yes, Mataji.
I'm very grateful to you for giving a wonderful lecture.
I'd
just like to add to Shruti Prabhu's this, that one impetus we get when we actually hear criticism, or we think that, like what impetus I get is like when you read the Krishna book, Krishna also never saw any negative qualities in any devotee. Krishna also oversees negatives and he just extracts the positives. Like for Kuja and for many other devotees, he just saw positive. Even in fact for Putana or the demons also, he actually liberated them. So one impetus is that, yes, you know, just see the positives and leave the negatives. And when Krishna is not seeing the negatives, and who are we to see the negatives? And even if that person has negatives, ours is a very purifying process. One or the other day he will be purified and he will go back to God again.
Yes.
So that is one impetus that we have. This is one just small comment from a little what I learned from you only. Guruji, one more question I would like to ask you is that you mentioned about you know, this yogi who actually falls down from his process. Like there are two types of yogis that you mentioned. One is the pious, he goes into the pious family, and one is so. And you also mentioned that if a person very quickly takes up to Krishna consciousness, which means he is from the past birth. But there are many who very slowly and gradually come. Like I know some devotees, like they used to only attend regular, you know, Bhagavad Gita classes in Pune. But after 20 long years, they built Sukruti. And then they took up to Krishna consciousness. They started chanting and then they got initiated also. So what do you have to say about this? I'm also confused.
No. It's, I mean, I just gave one example. There can be many reasons why devotees can come. Because sometimes people just wonder, oh, suddenly how this devotee took up Krishna consciousness. So then it means he has Sukriti from his past life, and that's why he did. Like many devotees in the Western countries, Srila Prabhupada went there. They came in contact with Prabhupada and they picked up very quickly. When devotees asked Prabhupada later, because Prabhupada himself was teaching that in order to accept devotional service, you need some Sukriti. They asked the question, these devotees had no Sukriti. How could they pick up so quickly? Sri Prabhupada said, I created their Sukriti. So by the blessings of devotees, when they are coming in contact with devotees, they are getting Sukriti. Sometimes just take, unknowingly they take Mahaprasad. They unknowingly just hear Kirtan, they are passing some Kirtan sound, they hear. Sometimes they start chanting together also. It's nice to chant.
Yeah, we came like that. We just saw street Sankirtan. And we just
come to that Sankirtan
and we also
became devotees. Yes. So in this way, some Sukriti is being built. And when we have some some amount of Sukriti, and then we take up devotional service. It happens by the mercy of devotees. Yes, sir.
I'm sorry I came late, but of the points that I was listening, a small question. Devotional service and bhakti yoga essentially means selflessness in the first place. So the desire to serve Krishna and be in his service, either here or in Golok, that's a different thing. But the moment the desire to get out of life and the cycle of birth and death comes, although that is a side effect of devotional service, automatically somebody will come out of that. But the moment the focus comes and the considerations come, in fixing of destinations also, then how does it stay selfless devotional service? Because the bhav is that I want to serve you, Lord, whether you send me to hell or heaven, doesn't matter for me. So the moment, I understand you speaking the Bhagavad Gita, and you got my point.
So let just to clarify the question, if I understand it correctly, that if I have a desire to get liberated from the cycle of birth and death, then how can it be selfless devotional service?
Yes, because some
yes, if I have a desire to be liberated from the cycle of birth and death, and that is my topmost desire, then that is not considered pure devotional service. That's why Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, na dhanam na janam na sundarim kavitam va jagadish kamaye mam janmani janmanishvare bhavatad bhakti rahituki. I don't even want to be liberated. I don't even want to become God, like become one with you. Impersonal liberation also I don't want. Varam deva moksham na moksha vadhim va na chanyam vrineham varesha dapiha. Varam deva moksham na. I do not want liberation. That's what devotee is saying. That is pure devotional service. Because if I have the desire for liberation, then that is not considered pure devotional service. Even to have the desire for pure devotional service is very rare. Having this desire of pure devotional service is very rare. Not everyone can have that desire. First, the desire just to do some bhaktis, from there it starts. And one must hear from pure devotees. Only by the blessings of pure devotees, this desire will develop. The desire for pure devotional service. In Nectar of Devotion, in the very first chapter, it is mentioned that pure devotional service is very rare. So most of the people will not have this desire of pure devotional service. It's very rare. Very rare. And if one has this desire to be liberated from birth and death as the topmost desire, then that is not pure devotional service. I think that answers the question.
Ideally, there will not be any destination, right? I mean, the mood should be there to serve the Lord. But the destination or where to serve, ideally that should not be in consideration, if it is pure
devotion. Yes. Pure devotional service, it doesn't matter. That's why devotees pray, I don't mind to take birth again in this world. I will be happy to take birth. Bhaktivinoda Thakur says that I do not want the birth of Brahma if that is not devoted, who is not devoted to Krishna. Kit jarma ho mui tuva das. I will be happy to take birth again in this world as an insect if I am your devotee. That is pure devotional service. Bhaktivinoda Thakur is praying that I'm not saying you take me back to your planet. I will be happy to be born here, as long as I remain your fully surrendered devotee. That is pure devotional service.
Yes.
I think so. Yeah, Prabhuji has a question.
Hare Krishna, Dhanaswadam Prabhu.
Hare Krishna.
Prabhu, there are two types of devotees, the short-term devotees and the long-term devotees. But there is question because for the short-term devotee, the God Krishna is saying that that short-term devotee goes in that the swarg or the highest planet to hope of that the reasons of hope. That's why the reason he fall down after the short-term devotions. So is there a possibility because swarg is the topmost, you can say, the planet for the complete the desires basically. So when he lives in the swarg after the fall down, then his eagerness of bhog increases in that swarg when he come again. So it is a positive or negative, it increases. I think I understand. जब वो स्वर्ग में जाता है तो वो स्वर्ग में जाने के बाद में जब दोबारा नीचे आता है तो स्वर्ग में भोगने की वजह से उसकी इच्छाएं बहुत ज्यादा बढ़ जाती हैं या नहीं बढ़ती हैं, उतनी ही रहती हैं। क्योंकि यहाँ पर तो ऐसा ही होता है कि आग में हम जितना घी डालते हैं, सब्जेक्ट हम जितना इंद्रियों को देते हैं उतना हमारे लिए नुकसान है। तो क्या होता है उसके साथ में जब वो वहाँ भोगने के लिए जाता है?
both can happen. Both can happen. Both can happen. It depends on many factors. When, you see, because he has done some pious activities, so he gets the result of it and he goes to the Swarga planet. But Swarga planet is not a very suitable place to perform devotional service. It's not a very good place. So after he has enjoyed the results and that is finished, he has to come back to the earth planet. It's not necessary. It's not necessary. There are examples also like Khatwang Maharaj. He was given, he went to the heavenly planets, he was there. But and the demigods, because of his pious activities and his qualities, he was given heavenly planets. But then when he asked, demigods asked, you can ask for any boon you want. She said, he had not much desire. He just asked, tell me how much time I am left with in my this life. Like how much time is there for me to die? And they said that very little time is left. And a few moments. So then he said that you are demigods and you have a lot of powers. Please send me immediately to Earth planet. And they immediately sent him to Earth planet. And he comes here and totally absorbs his mind in Krishna. And within a few moments he leaves his body. So even though he was in heavenly planets, he did not have much of desires. But both are possible. It depends, because how much devotional service he has performed, what kind of tendencies he has, there are many factors. And also, if someone is enjoying for a long time, one, the nature of material enjoyment is such that one gets frustrated. That is the nature. One gets frustrated. Yayati Maharaj asked for enjoyment and he exchanged his old age with the youth of his eldest son, Puru Maharaj. And for 1,000 years he enjoyed in young body. Then he realizes that what have I been doing? And he, the kind of enjoyment he has, he was the king. All facilities were there with him. But after 1,000 years he realizes it's a waste of time. And he renounces everything and gives the young age back to his son, takes the old age back again and goes to forest. The nature of material enjoyment is at some point it will lead to frustration. That is the nature. It will lead to. So in a sense, the person after enjoying, he may lose the tendency and he may come back and perform devotional service. That possibility is there too. Hare Krishna.
You just said that going back home, back to Godhead is not a devotional service, it's pure devotional service.
No, I did not say that. I said if one has only desire for liberation, only to get rid of the cycle of birth and death, then that is not pure devotional service.
Going back home, back to Godhead is getting out of the rebirth cycle?
That includes, so going back to Godhead includes liberation, but liberation does not include going back to Godhead.
Because the movement, this movement itself is built on that, going back home, back to Godhead. It says 60 rounds and I'll take you back home, back to Godhead.
No, going back to Godhead is fine. It includes, liberation is already included. But those who only desire for liberation, like the many the impersonalists, those who do not believe in the personal form of the Lord, they don't even believe in there is a spiritual world, they only want to be liberated and they merge in Brahma Jyoti.
You are talking about mukti.
Mukti. Mukti.
Going back home, back to Godhead, that is devotional service.
That is devotional service, yes.
Another question I would like to ask is, Bhakti Vinod Thakur was a great pastor, great soul. He had 13 children, but one out of the 13, that too, Bhakti Vinod prayed to Krishna that he should get one child that takes the movement forward. Why in the Vaishnava family, only one of the 13 could take a moment, and that's how it became interesting.
That is Krishna's desire.
Krishna. As you said, getting born into a Western family itself is a...
No, it's not that the other sons or daughters, they were not devotees. It's not that they were not. They were also very nice devotees. But Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur was special. He's special. He was especially empowered.
Did all the 13 go back home, back to God?
Yes. But he was specially empowered to spread the mission of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Because he prayed for that. Because he is Shaktyavesh Avatar, it is said. Because in order to spread the message of Chaitanya all over the world, one need to be specially empowered. So he was like that. I am already a person here in this material world. So I can't say much, but based on our understanding and the scriptural understanding, that's what we can say. Because Lord Narsingdev's pastime, we know where Krishna told that because of Prahlad Maharaj being pure devotee, 21 generations, 10 before and 10 after are liberated. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, they are of very pure Vaishnavas in the same categories. So definitely their generations will be blessed by Krishna, but for me to be able to make a statement like that is too much. Hare Krishna. Okay, so we end here. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna.